I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And we coming from a basement to your headphones. Barely even know who we are, but changing the unknown. In a while, topping the charts.
Thank you for downloading the Podcastianos. Now, here are your hosts, Jordan Hall and Eric Wayne.
Welcome into another scorching hot episode of the Podcastianos. I'm Jordan Hall, and I'm joined by a man who knows a thing or two about candy. It's Eric Wayne. Eric, what's going on?
Not too much, just living the dream. And yes, I do love candy. Who doesn't love candy? Some chocolate.
Everyone loves candy. Have you been enjoying all the hoopla surrounding the release of Miggy's Bit-Bits?
Bit-Bits. They actually look and sound interesting. They look pretty delicious. They're getting decent reviews so far. I'm not beneath trying some Bit-Bits, selling out to the D.
Now, how do they compare to, like, you know, the little Butterfinger, like the BBs? I mean, is it just kind of like that, but kind of your more traditional chocolate? Is that the vibe?
Yeah, I forget. So Evan Woodbury, who we've had as a guest, posted a review. It was basically like a kit. No, what was it? It was like a crunch. Crunch bar covered with like a ball of crunch bar covered with a chocolate coating, I think was how he put it.
That sounds pretty delicious. I'd eat that.
Yeah.
I'd eat the crap.
I have not had the privilege of trying a Bit-Bit, but as soon as I can, I will get on it.
Quite frankly, I'm surprised that he didn't send it to us to review, kind of like Tom Gage did with his book.
Yeah. Send us Bit-Bits, Chris the Crown.
Do you like that he's kind of diversifying his interests? Like, clearly Miggy isn't just a man that hits baseballs. He has other interests that include chocolate.
Yeah, why not? It can't be all baseball all the time, right? I know some people would be a little pissy, like, whoa, what is he taking phone calls? He should be in the weight room lifting weights. Yeah, I get some of that.
And to extent, I have a feeling that a lot of the legwork, if you will, is probably not done by Miguel Cabrera himself.
He is loaning his name to this project and maybe helping with a few decisions or deciding to try to tackle it. But no, he's not sweeping the floors at the Bit-Bit factory after an extra inning game. Don't worry, friends.
What I was impressed with was how quickly all the branding went up, like, all over Comerica.
I learned
it existed, and I saw it everywhere within, like, 3 hours. So kudos there.
And we need Darren Rovell to give us an accounting of the home run over the Bit-Bit sign, right?
I'd actually very much like Darren Rovell to not be involved in any part of the Tigers, if I can be particular. Have you ever seen a more unsettling mascot than Chris the Crown?
Oh, sure. There's lots of unsettling. Have you ever seen the King Baby or the Baby King from the New Orleans Baby Cakes?
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. That is very unsettling also.
Okay. Also, Pete the Purdue Boilermaker.
Yeah, can't disagree with that one either.
So this it's not even in the top five.
Also, there's a team in Scotland called Partick Thistle. Look up their mascot. It will give you nightmares.
Partick Thistle?
Yeah, they're a Scottish Premier League team.
Of course, yeah.
Yes. Why is his name Chris? That's the one that I've gone back and forth on. Like, you could pick anything. I know that it's like an alliteration, but come on.
You couldn't think of like a royal name, like a royal sounding name.
Gustav.
Gustav. That's less good than Chris.
No, it's better than Chris. I feel like Chris always is walking around with like that Joey Tribbiani, how you doing? You know.
Yeah, he's got the smirk going. Yeah, he's gonna deliver you some bits.
Yikes! So that brings us to this week's leadoff question. Which Tiger do you feel like would be most qualified to serve as the full time person manning Chris the Crown?
Ooh. Well, I think I wonder if it's just it could be just like the low man on the totem pole. Like whoever has to do the on-field clinic duties. Yeah. Like if you're carrying the pink backpack, you're getting the on-field clinic and you get to stick in the crown. Now, you need somebody small to fit in the costume, kind of agile and maybe the ability to dance a little bit. Right.
Yeah, for sure.
The guy who came to mind right away would be Ramon Santiago. We don't need him anymore. He's like retired, or he'd be perfect for this job.
That's true. I actually kind of went down the same line of thinking. And the one that came to my mind was a showman. We need somebody with a little flair. And
I know what you're going to say.
I think to a certain extent, you know, so when somebody gets into a mascot costume, they become like this other person, this person that they can't exhibit in their day-to-day life. So I took somebody who is maybe a little bit more reserved but clearly has that showman side. And that, of course, is Al Albuquerque.
Yeah, that's who I was going to say. Al would be perfect.
Plus, let's be honest, Chris is just going around pointing at crap. That's what mascots do.
You see a child, you point to him, right?
You see a grown-up, you point to him, yeah.
Do you know, like, are you familiar with the Wiggles?
I mean, I know who they are. Yeah. I can't say I've binged their episodes or anything.
So whenever they take a photograph with a child, they do like this pose where they like do jazz hands. They stick their hands out. And I learned that this was just to eliminate any hints of impropriety with children, like with their hands on them, you know.
That makes sense.
Just to be safe. So they got their hands up. That's I don't know what that has to do with it. I just thought that was kind of interesting. You know, maybe Al could do that and just point, or, you know, just be safe.
Yeah, I could see Al going back and forth between jazz hands and pointing the whole time.
Yeah.
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 If you want to get in touch with the show, you can podcastianos.com. On the Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. Eric is at ComericEric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On Instagram, fire emoji at Jordinho4, facebook.com/podcastianos. And we haven't talked about this nearly as much as we should, but if you like the show, please take the time to rate and review us on iTunes, Google Play, or SoundCloud. It helps us to move up, it helps us to become more popular, and it lines our pockets far more so than if you don't.
We are still craving that popularity that we did not have in high school. So help us out. Thanks.
Yes. Speak for yourself.
I'll speak for both of us. That's fine.
I'm Blaine Hardy, and you're listening to the podcast, Giannos.
We have a lot to talk about, but first let's get to the breaking news. Anibal Sanchez has accepted a demotion to Toledo. He wants to be a starter. He wants to get back the old mojo, if you will. I feel like we're being loose with that term at this point. Sure. I texted you, this is big, ? And you said, yup, expand.
Okay. So by optioning him or sending him to Toledo, because he has, rights, he could simply decline that option and he could become a free agent. Right. So what he's decided to do is, no, I'll accept the assignment, stick with the organization, and the Tigers get to keep him, which is cool. And it's really swallowing a little bit of humble pie for him, and for any player in this kind of situation, because you have to go down to the minors and work through your business. And when he did not have to, he could try to say, all right, screw you guys and catch on with another big league club, and the Tigers would lose him and still have to pay a salary. But by doing this, he stays with the club. It's good for him because I think he keeps some continuity with some of the staff. Just familiarity with kind of his mode of business. He's not signing on with a new club and moving all around. So there are some advantages with him.
And
it's indicator that, yeah, he knows that his stock has plummeted. And he may not just catch on with a team and get plugged right back in.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it's good for him, too. I mean, it is a little bit of this noble, swallowing his pride and going
it
down.
It is noble.
But he's getting guaranteed AAA innings. If he's going to get back to being a regular, substantial, contributing big league player, it's going to be as a starter. And he's never going to get back to that level, throwing every fifth day, up 10, down 10 in our bullpen. And I don't think there's another team in baseball that would think, you know what? Number five starter, let's get that Anibal Sanchez in. Him going down there.
Pelfrey? I don't think so good.
Yeah, exactly. Let's be honest. For the big league club, for the 25-man roster, this is kind of a, party hat emoji type of moment, at least for the moment.
Well, you get another what you'd hope is a competent bullpen piece. They called up Solpold, Warwick. He's got more flexibility in what he can do, I think. And I think this is an indicator that Sanchez really just sees himself as a starter and was never really comfortable with that reliever role. And I think that's the truth.
And to be fair, when he was doing his best work in spring training, granted it's spring training, it was as a starter. I feel like I bang on about this every time we talk about Anibal, but the preparation that you go through pre-outing is just so much different as a starter than it is as a reliever. If he can't get that get the reliever's mentality and get through getting loose and all that stuff, as a reliever, I can see how that would be a problem for him.
Right. I don't feel like we need to dog on Anibal Sanchez too much before I make this point, because I think it's very clear that he's not been good. He's struggled. He's been piss poor, all that kind of stuff. Okay, hear that first. Now, can you envision a scenario where he goes down to the Mud Hens, becomes a starter, falls into his regular rhythms, make some changes, and a guy like Matt Boyd scuffles, or heaven forbid, somebody gets dinged? He could come back up and be a valuable contributor yet this year.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, he's been bad. Trust me, he's been real bad. But we don't have a lot of starting pitching depth. I mean,
just my boy Verhagen.
Are you going to go get Buck Farmer? I mean, okay, it's fine. But Sanchez could be, that caliber starter.
Yeah, absolutely. I
mean, we're not talking about, a monster stud ace.
Essentially, at this point, sending him down to work through it is like a lottery ticket. We're probably not going to, win anything off it, but you just never know. And you especially don't know unless you scratch it, so to speak.
I think this is the best case scenario for the Tigers and a good case scenario for Sanchez.
Yeah. Tie a bow on that. You good with that?
Yes, consider it tied.
As we recorded last week, we knew that this past week was going to be a rough one for the fellas. We're coming home finally from that West Coast road trip. We were playing two pretty tough teams that I think were both in playoff positions as we were coming in. And yet again, we come away with a 500 week. I feel like the week was kind of a bit of a roller coaster. There was a couple games that I thought we should have won, and then a couple games that we won that maybe I was surprised we did. And it's easy to take each result in isolation. But over the scheme of 162 games, was this another just kind of acceptable week?
I'd like to say yes. I really wanted to win that game on, what was it, Tuesday night?
The extra innings.
Orioles. Yep. Yeah, it went 13 innings or whatever. We were so close to winning that game. That game was bananas, by the way.
Yes.
Love that game. There's a lot of baseball games that are kind of yawners, that are duds. That was not one. That was awesome.
Yeah, I was actually taking notes on that game for, just as I do through the week. And I put heartening. We came back from the dead three times. And then their final result, and I put in my notes, disheartening. We still find ways to lose.
You know, it, it was just a crazy emotional roller coaster game. They showed the win expectancy chart. Is that what you call it? Win probability chart? And it's just like a Richter scale seismic thing, just bouncing up and down. It was great.
So, like we said, the two teams we played coming in hot. I feel like you and I maybe are a little bit more lenient with the team. We're
blatant sunshiners.
We don't fly off the handle quite like some people do. Have we been a little bit too lenient on them? I feel like it's been quite a while that I've been okay with them treading water. Like every week there's kind of a new well, this happened, so we were on the West Coast for 2 weeks. That's hard to kill them too much for that. And then two good teams. How long is it okay for us to kind of just tread water like this?
Well, I said it another podcast, but I keep going to what our expectations were at the beginning of the year. We said, if we can be 500, if we can be a little better than 500 and somehow snatch a wild card spot, that's about where we're at. Right.
Yeah.
I think if we were leading the division by 3 or 4 games, that would be well exceeding expectations, would it not?
I mean, oh yeah, absolutely.
Right. And I think if we were 6 games out of first place, everybody would be saying, oh, they've underperformed. Okay. So we're 500. We're what? 2 games out of first place. We're right there. Have we underperformed? Maybe a smidge. Sure. Is there reasons to be more hopeful? Sure. But we haven't gone totally poopy.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it hasn't come off the rails.
I feel like if you look at our team, you see a team with the chance to break out any given day with all kinds of offense, and a team with a bunch of young, inconsistent starting pitching. What have we done this year? We've been wildly inconsistent at bat, and we've had some inconsistent starting pitching. And, you know, to be honest, being at 500 right now isn't the worst thing when, you know, Minnesota is one of the teams ahead of us. No disrespect to all our Minnesota listeners, but come on. And, you know, Cleveland is 2 games ahead of us. We saw that all last year. Now, granted, we didn't chase them down, but there were moments last year where I kind of thought we were going to. I think we're better than we were last year, and I think they're maybe a little bit worse. I don't know.
Yep.
Do you go ahead.
Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, the division is extremely bunched right now. All 4 of the not terrible teams are within 3 games. Do you see that changing?
Not immediately. No, I don't think so. I mean, what vaulted Cleveland so much last year was their stellar starting pitching. Right now, Carrasco is the only guy really who's above average.
Yeah, Kluber, I think, is still on the DL, and Salazar.
Kluber's on the DL.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bauer and Tomlin have stunk.
Which makes me so happy, because I pretty well despise Trevor Bauer.
Yeah. He stick his finger in a drone blade or whatever. Anyway, so their powerhouse, their strength has not been that good. Now, could they return to form? You know, then we'd be in some trouble. Now, as far as we go, producing runs has not been a problem. It really hasn't. It's been run prevention. And like you said, some starting pitching, certainly the bullpen, we talked about that. And defense, right? I mean, we need to be the players that we have need to play their very best defense that they're capable of in order for us to have a competent average defense. It's not like we have amazing athletes all over and they can kind of lollygag and have some off games and still have an average defense. No, our guys need to bring it every night on defense in order to be competent.
You want to hear a surprising defensive stat? Justin Upton is tied for 11th in baseball in defensive runs saved right now. Would you believe that?
Tied for 11th?
Yeah. In all of baseball.
We're actually a little foreshadowing here. We're going to talk about this come power rankings a little bit.
Interesting.
Yeah. But to me, the defensive metrics are the the biggest, not always the most accurate, and don't always paint the clearest picture. But he doesn't he's been good. I mean, he's been fine.
Yeah.
He doesn't. Yeah, 11th best. Okay, sure.
Okay, you know? enough meta stuff. Let's get into some more specifics. You good with that?
Yes.
Okay. Tigers were on national TV twice this past week. They were on Fox on Saturday and ESPN Sunday Night Baseball last night. Do you enjoy the national broadcasts?
No, I really don't. I actually appreciate. I actually liked the ESPN broadcast more because of I'm sorry, I've completely forgotten her name.
Jessica Mendoza.
I enjoy her, just a different kind of perspective, and they're asking her questions about, you know, conditioning and what she sees and all that, and I just think it was kind of neat. I know there's going to be haters out there, it's like, you know, caveman man's game, can't have a woman talk about baseball, stop it. She was great.
No, I think my issue with them is, like, they clearly do their research, but I feel like everything that they spit out is superficial. Like, everything you can get by looking at box scores from the last 3 days. I feel like I spend the whole game, like, rolling my eyes at all of the, like, yeah, well, but, you know, that kind of stuff. I know that Fox Sports Detroit isn't perfect, but at least they see the Tigers play every single night,
right.
And they're just more
familiar.
Focused.
Yeah, they're focused on the Tigers. The national broadcast, they're eager to talk about the Angels and Mike Trout, and they're going to talk about this. Any excuse that they have to compare somebody in the current game to somebody else that they feel like they want to talk about, they'll just go ahead and do it. Now, yeah, so I don't hate it as much as some, but no, I don't like them as well as our regular broadcast.
Why were they set up in left field last night? Did they ever address that?
I think it's just a shtick. It's a gimmick.
Oh, do they, you know? Do they always do that? I
think so.
I have to admit, I don't watch a ton of Sunday night
baseball. There was a little logo that said, you know, stadium calls or something, or is, you know, I said, you know, a lot. I shouldn't do that.
you know,
there was a logo promoting the fact that they were sitting in the stands. So I think they must do it more.
Interesting. And I know, last point before we move on to the players, I know you saw Marlins man was in the house last night. Were you pumped that he graced us with his excellence?
My one word tweet reply to you was barf.
Yeah, I left.
Marlins man is the worst. He's the worst superhero. He's the worst fan. He's just a guy in a jacket who's got money and can sit in the front row.
He would be so pumped to hear you call him a superhero. That would just make his day.
No, I said he's an extremely lame knockoff superhero.
I don't think he hears any of the rest of this. So
listen, Jordan, give me money and I would become the coolest fan that there is. I need money. I'll quit my job. I'll put on something ridiculous and I'll buy the front row tickets. It's not that hard. You need money.
I could see you in a sombrero in every game.
I could be sombrero guy. Oh,
I
go viral, hold up signs. Hey, look, there's sombrero guy.
Senor Man. Sombrero.
Yeah. I'd have cheerleaders come in to hug me, or the energy squad or whatever it is. Can't have cheerleaders, of course.
No, that's absurd.
And everybody, I'd be featured in broadcasts and stuff. All you need is money.
Speaking of money, here's somebody that we might give a lot to. JD Martinez has come back from the disabled list angry. You all know the stats by now. He's played in 9 games, total of 27 at-bats, 6 homers, 12 ribs, 13 walks. And his batting average on balls in play is actually lower than it was for the season in 2016. What has JD coming back meant for you morale-wise as a fan?
It's just fun to see him out there, isn't it? He is the most unassuming masher slugger I've ever seen. I'm always amazed by this, but he looks not confident. You know, you see him before and he takes this deep breath and it kind of closes his eyes like he's trying to pump. You know, he's not sure if he can do it or not. And then he just bombs moonshots all over. You know, he's not there like you know, some slugger in a cheesy baseball movie where he's grunting and, you know, pawing at the dirt with his foot. He's completely the opposite, and I love it. That's pretty good.
Have you seen anything from him that specifically makes you, like, understand why he's able to come off the shelf so successfully? Because he wasn't very good down in Toledo before he came up, and all of a sudden, you know, he's literally the fire emoji.
No, I have no idea.
Okay.
I could come up with some BS, Jordan.
But it's got to be the note-taking, right?
Right. Yeah. I haven't seen The Notebook lately, have you?
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the film either. I'm talking about JD's Notebook.
I think they've shown a couple shots with him in The Notebook recently.
Man, I'd like to get my hands on that.
Would you? What would you do with that?
Keep it to myself and read it at night before I go to bed.
So the internet has been super emotional, wants to lock him up. And I feel like that's kind of a talk for another day. But at this moment right now, how are you feeling as far as re-signing him long term?
Yeah, not going to happen.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
Not
but it would be nice.
Of course it would be nice. You know what we need? Money. Everything is solved with more money.
We should all resolve to buy like one hot and ready a week for the next, I don't know, through the rest of the year and see if Chris indulges us a little bit.
Chris ain't indulging much.
Okay, let's move on. Ian Kinsler, starting to get back to his regular self, did some research. He's raised his average 40 points in the two-ish weeks since he returned from the injury, and he's hitting .309 in May. Really, really nice to have this guy back and clicking, especially at the top of the order. He's just such an imperative spot to have rolling.
Yeah, let's see. He hit a leadoff bomb this week, didn't he?
Yeah, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah. Shows how much I paid. I watch every game and then I think back. I'm like, what was that? Because it all melds together. I should be taking notes like you, competent podcast host who writes things down and is competent.
Yeah.
No, Kinsler's. Yeah, Kinsler's been better. I don't know, maybe because it was a hamstring.
Mm-hmm. And issue? It sounds like he's still kind of dealing with it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's just regressing back to excellence.
Yeah, that seems fair.
You know, he can be streaky, though, right? Not Upton-level streaky, but he'll go in waves throughout the year.
Yeah, I was looking back. He's actually, despite the fact that he's only hitting, .240 right now, and it was pretty terrible for the first month of the year, he's still tied for ninth in baseball in runs scored and is third among all second basemen in wins above replacement. So, I mean, it just speaks to how weak a little bit the second base position is. But I feel like when he's at his peak, he might be the most underappreciated player in baseball. Like, he just so flies under that national radar. And I know he won a gold glove, so that's showing him some love, you know, last year. But he's so good, and I feel like he just gets no love.
I would agree with that.
And I know playing in Detroit is, you know, probably the root cause of that.
Yeah, I would say. Because in Detroit, he's the third most attention kind of guy after Verlander and Cabrera.
Yeah, I guess. Either him or JD, I would say.
Yeah.
Which is funny, considering Upton was the, you know, $200 million signing from, last year?
Yeah.
But
you just consider how much he's overshadowed on his own team.
Speaking of overshadowing, 5 o'clock shadow, there's a connection in there somewhere. Alex Avila has been amazing. He is tied for 10th in all of baseball in wins above replacement. 10th in all of baseball.
Yeah, I don't know what they're putting in his Rogaine, but man, he is feeling strong.
There is no way he needs Rogaine. He needs whatever the opposite of Rogaine is. Dude is a little hairy boy.
He is so airy, yeah. Now, are you buying this? Because everybody is like, yeah, Avila, wow, he's doing really good. But everybody's kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop on him. Like, oh, okay, he's really not that good. How's he getting away with this? But he's up to 26 games played, 87 plate appearances. The samples are starting to get a little bigger here, friends.
Well, I feel like now, there is strong evidence that there is a regression coming. He is batting average on balls in play is .489. that's probably not sustainable. But he's using more of the field than, you know, I can ever remember him using. And that's something that I think – I don't know. This is completely a theory. But he watched a lot more baseball last year than he did in many, many previous years. And maybe, you know, sitting there, you know, char down whatever catchers do when they're not playing, maybe something clicked.
Yeah. His plate approach – is still sound. He's not flailing. He takes a lot of walks. And one thing I'll say is they were showing a stat, and if I was a good person, I'd have exactly what this is, but he has not faced many lefties.
Yeah, that's good. That's good managing.
They're protecting him with this platoon. Him and McCann, and you can see in McCann's at least home run numbers – not in his average so much, but the platoon is kind of working for these guys. And that's why I'm surprised, you know, sometimes when they don't leverage the platoon to its utmost. But I think that's helping Alex too.
Yeah, absolutely. Right now he's, or I say right now, but the last two games he's been in the two spot, 6-for-9. No, 4-for-6. Those are different numbers. He's 4-for-6 in the two spot.
6-for-9 are different numbers.
They are. They're different numbers. I kind of like him up there. He's getting on base at a 4.94 clip. Like, obviously, that's probably a little bit unsustainable. But, I mean, he is kind of your perfect new age number two hitter, at least at this moment.
And he's buying into the whole – I don't know if this was a conscious adjustment or – but he's on the whole JD hit the ball in the air bandwagon.
Yeah.
Which is great because he doesn't swing a lot. He works his walks and he hits the ball in the air to keep you out of that double play. So for those reasons, he's pretty good in the two spot. Plus, I hate bunting and moving the base runner over, you know, two.
And you're probably not going to see him do that.
Yeah, that's great. Put some plotter in there. I don't want any contact slap hitting on my two hitter. Yeah. It's a power in the two hole.
I'm glad that we only signed him because of nepotism.
Yeah, I mean, okay, both sides of this are getting a little old. I think the pendulum has swung and the team nepotism people are being drowned out by the sarcastic team nepotism people, and that's getting annoying too now. Just let it be.
One last thing to go before the power rankings. Anthony Gose is scheduled to make his pitching debut tonight in Lakeland. On a scale of 1 to 10, how are I take that you are fairly excited.
Squee! I want this to work so much. I'm so excited. Be good. Please, Gose, be good.
That's good advice for all the players, truly.
Yeah, I want this to work. Are you excited or not?
I'm more curious than excited. I got to be honest. Anthony's not my favorite Tiger, but
he's a little moody.
It would be cool to see him do. I mean, it just doesn't happen very often. You know, Matt Bush was a nice example of that from the Rangers. It's kind of cool. Like I wouldn't mind seeing it happen. I don't think it's going to. But I
just think of all the ways you could use him and leverage it. It'd be so fun.
Yeah. It would be, except for you wouldn't want to use him at the plate because, as you may remember, he's not very, very good there.
He's good for a pitcher.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Stop.
All right, let's move on to your power rankings.
Power rankings. Man, this is – we don't have time for shenanigans. this week. Okay. This is a very serious business podcast. Okay. Now, a few nights ago, they had on the telecast, the Tigers telecast, they had advanced stats night. Do you remember this? Did we talk about this?
I was actually not able to catch this one. I had a softball game. I was super bummed. Ugh,
you're dominating the world of softball.
Of course.
Okay. Advanced stats night. That was actually the super long game, and they kind of foregoed the stats, I think, after a while. Anyway, so we're going to talk a little bit about baseball statistics, and I have for you baseball statistics.
Okay.
All right. So there's three things that I'm really looking for when I want to talk about baseball statistics. One, I want it to accurately portray the performance of the team or the individual.
Seems
right?
Fair. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Two, I want to have a kind of rule of thumb or known standards for what's good and what's not good in my statistic. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So if you tell me he's got 1,000 VORP or whatever, is that good or not good? You need to be able to know these things in order to be for the statistic to be helpful.
True.
Right. All right. And three, I want them to be kind of generally known so I can talk about it with my friends and acquaintances.
Of course.
And we can have fun baseball conversations.
Yeah. Nothing like better at a party than to talk about, you know, wins above replacement, something like
everybody that. Everybody does this. Yeah. All right. Here we go. Top seven, bottom three. Starting at number seven is WOBA, or weighted on base average. I like this one a lot because I think it most accurately reflects the value of the hitter to the team, because everything is weighted. How much does a home run give you? How much does a triple give you? How much does a sink, you know, so on and so forth. All the things that you do are adjusted via some constant and tells you how good it is. Now, can you guess why it's only number seven? It's because it fails the other two tests. You don't really know what the standards are, and it's not really generally known.
True.
That's what seven. Okay.
It sounds great, though.
Yeah, it really is a powerful stat, and I read about it. And I'm going to put a plug in here for Lee Panis's book. He's a big Tigers fan. He's active on Twitter. He wrote a book. And then Sam Perlstein, I think that's how you say your name, did the illustrations. She's the talent who kind of did my avatar online and stuff. And her comics and cartoons and stuff are awesome and hilarious. So I'm going to put a plug. He wrote a book called Beyond Batting Average. I'm holding it in my hand right now. It's beautiful. Yes, I actually look at a printed book occasionally.
What's that like?
They have the percentages or the percentiles printed, which is kind of handy if you're like, oh, what does that mean again? So buy a book. They're great. Okay. Number six is home runs. It's simple. How many home runs did he hit? It's not always, you know, precise, but if you say, oh, a guy hit two home runs this year and it's almost the end of the season, you know that the guy does not hit for much power. If you say he's got 35 home runs this year, wow. Okay, he's got big power. Home runs, it's simple. Hit the ball out of the park and you count them.
Touche, yeah.
All right. Number five is WAR. WAR is helpful because it obviously tells you in a comprehensive package how valuable an individual player is, right? It's not so good because the formulas are quite complicated and there can be some disagreement about, you know, if how accurate it is, but WAR is really helpful to give you an overall picture of how good a guy is.
And if you want to sound like if you want to sound like a stat head, a hipster, that's one you absolutely like have to have in your arsenal.
And WAR is particularly valuable because you are adjusting to a standard at that position. So almost every first baseman is going to hit better than almost all shortstops or second baseman, for instance. So it makes those kind of adjustments for you. And that's why WAR is so helpful. And that's why Mike Trout is always, you know, heads and shoulders above. Well, Mike Trout is awesome. But anyway, WAR, that's number five. Number four is ERA. ERA is a throwback. It's been around forever. Everybody knows. It's always published. Everybody knows what ERA means. If you got a guy with a 3 ERA, well, that's pretty good. If you have a guy with a 7 ERA, he stinks up the place. Okay? Everybody kind of knows about ERA. But there's problems with ERA. There's team factors. There's defensive issues.
There's game situation factors, too.
There's just a mess of things that are dependent on things other than your pitching. ERA. Okay. Mm-hmm. That brings us to number three, which is FIP, fielding independent pitching. Now, what's nice about FIP is they calculate it for you, but it's based off of the things that a pitcher can control. So home runs, strikeouts, all that kind of stuff. And it's adjusted to scale to the ERA. So I like to look at FIP a lot.
Yeah. FIP's fun. I feel like FIP's one of the ones that I look at just like you say, for fun, more so than most of the other ones, because it's kind of that nice blend of accessible yet like this tells me something I didn't know.
Right. And now FIP and ERA, you can have a FIP plus and ERA plus, which is really nice because it scales it to where average is 100. So if you know, if they're above 100, they're above average, and below 100, you know, it's getting a little technical, but anyway. And let me just say, I'm an amateur at this. I'm kind of interested in it. There's going to be some brainiacs out there who are going to be able to explain it a lot better and get into the formulas. I want to know just enough to kind of be dangerous.
Yeah, so. I'd agree with that.
Yeah. Number two is batting average. Batting average, you're going to say, is, that's an old-fashioned stat. It doesn't account for, power. It doesn't account for all the other things a player can do on the field. Yeah, but you know what it is. If a guy is a 300 hitter, you know what that means. Mm-hmm. And if a guy is a 220 hitter, you know what that means. It gets a little bit deceiving because, yeah, if a guy has a low average and hits for more power and gets on base more, that's going to be more valuable. So that's where we get to – I'll let you guess. What's number one?
On-base percentage? OPS. OPS.
OPS. Yeah, OPS. Yeah. OPS still is kind of a shortcoming, and that is people – and even – I still don't always know what the appropriate scale for OPS is. A rule of thumb is – about 800 is average. 787 actually is right at the average. The best players in the league are 101 or 1.1. They're over 1,000 OPS. The worst is like 600. So you have to kind of figure out what that is. But once you do that, it's really useful because it paints you a really good picture of how good a hitter is.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. Definitely.
And I think even on the FSN broadcast, I think they're putting it more often.
Good. I haven't necessarily noticed, but it's because I'm so focused in on Johnny Cain that I don't see some of the peripheral things like that.
Jeez, yeah.
Of course.
Hey, we have no time for shenanigans tonight, Hall.
Sorry. I retract my shenanigans. Less business Johnny Cain talk.
I have my suit and tie on tonight to deliver this statistical talk.
Yes, okay. I saw that on when we were talking earlier.
I've been practicing in an elevator, sir. Okay. three worst. Third from the worst is zone rating, or any kind of ultimate zone rating, non-ultimate zone rating, terrific zone rating, simplified. Get rid of all this stuff. The basic premise is how many plays is a fielder making in his zone compared to other average people, but I don't know what it all means. I'm so confused by that. And defensive statistics are inherently less accurate.
Yeah,
you can't
absolutely
hit it. Hits and stuff you can count. You can't always count what's in this. I don't know. I don't get it. Number two from the worst is wins. Wins have so much to do with your team and other factors get rid of wins.
See, I love wins. Like, I know that it's not a very reflective stat. Like, it loses mega points in your first category. But I feel like baseball is such a quirky, traditional kind of niche sport. And wins just encompasses all of that. Like, there's so many random little factors that go into who gets the win. Like, I don't know. I think wins is so charming, and the way we use it put so much importance on it, first of all, is just absurd. But I don't know. I have a soft spot for wins just because it's just so baseball.
It does tell you something. Yeah. If a guy has 20 win season, he's not garbage, right? So how I think of it is this. You remember – maybe you don't, you whippersnapper. The first video games that came out, you had like Mario – and you see him in his hat is composed of like 7 or 8 pixels. Okay. Is that a hat? Yeah, kind of looks like a hat. I kind of think it's a hat. And then as the years go by, you get more accurate. It gets more clear as the graphics improve. Now you can count the nose hairs in Mario's nose and you're playing whatever fancy game kids play these days.
I think they play the Wii now.
Skyrim or whatever. I don't know. Skylo or.
All right. Tell us what's worst.
Worst is saves.
Yeah.
I hate saves because the whole proven closer model is garbage, and saves is complicated. It really doesn't tell you that much about how good a guy is, right?
Yeah, and it changes the way managers manage. Like, they manage towards that stat, which I think is just,
that's,
you know,
total
blows the mind. It's just – it's very dumb.
Yeah, yeah. So saves are garbage. Okay, if you don't get all these statistics, don't feel bad, right? Just enjoy the game however you want. If you want to look at a kid with mustard smeared on his face while you're watching the game, that's fine. Don't worry about statistics. It's fine. That's Power Rankings.
Hello, this is Eric's mom, and you're listening to the Podcastianos.
So this is the week, Eric. Saturday morning, I will be taking on the marathon.
This is the week, huh?
This is the week.
Oh, man. Have you been injecting race steroids into your butt? Get some horse.
I went to Germany and got that like placenta thing and put in my knee like Kobe had.
Nice.
That was the big trip for this past week. Yeah.
I'm not telling you to cheat, Hall, but think about it.
We drove the course this past weekend, and I think it's going to be
smart. I could do that.
I think it's going to be really nice because like you can see the bay the whole time. But my impression is like, holy crap, this is so far. So far, yeah. I'm a little
gird
nervous.
Your loins,
yeah.
I encourage you. I affirm you. This is a big step.
Yeah. So if you're out there on Saturday morning, spare a
hold
thought
up
for
sign.
My legs. No, don't hold up a sign for me. I don't want.
Yeah,
that.
mile 18. You got to have one of those fat heads of Johnny Cain.
Oh, that would work. Yeah,
kicking the afterburners. Mile 24. It's like Daniel Norris picture or something.
Yeah, you
how far is it? Is it further than 24 miles?
Yeah, 26.2.
Oh, phew.
You'll be able to tell from the sticker I put on the back of my car.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I will absolutely not do that.
Yeah, just put a sticker.
So my goal is to be under 4 hours, which I kind of did some research. It sounds like if you're better than 4 hours, it's like, yeah, that's pretty sweet. And if it takes longer than 4 hours, it's like, well, good job, you finished. So that's kind of okay. That's my benchmark. That's what I'm going for.
So I'm going to go see my bookie tomorrow. How you feeling? Like, should I put some cash on you for the win or place or show or?
Yeah, probably show. That feels fair.
Okay.
I'm not all sure right. How many of like the what's the African country that just nails all the distance running? Is it Kenya?
Kenya.
Yeah, I don't
Zimbabwe,
know if there's any Kenyans Nairobi. Coming over. So I'll have to take a look around at the starting line. I'll text you. I'm sure your bookie will be up early.
Yeah. Yeah. The elite runners. That's what they call them. They get to go first.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm probably not going to be in that group. Probably not. So Go ahead.
I encourage you. Go. Run fast.
It'll be fun. I'm ready for it to be done. Like I've run over 1,000 miles so far in this year, like to get ready for it. And my legs are like, all right, buddy, we can be done.
It's time to do it.
So I do have a story from the road from this past week, though. As I was finishing up my training, I was actually back into like my neighborhood, and it was on the side of the road. I see one of those, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer antlers that people put in like their door, you know, car door frames around Christmas. Saw that on the side of the road.
Wow.
My thought was like, did they have that in their door frame until just today? Like, you know, in mid-May? Like, is that what happened?
Did you find the matching center of the grill nose?
No, that's the unsettling part. There wasn't the other antler or a nose. I don't know what's happened to this car reindeer.
Oh, it's so sad. It's a tragic tale of woe.
It's something.
Yeah. Do you rock the reindeer car?
No, absolutely not.
If you had a Volkswagen Beetle, would you put eyelashes on the headlights?
No, absolutely not.
You're not for dressing up your car?
No, I'm not for showing any sort car of like costuming? Outward individuality pretty much at all.
Okay.
That's not my thing.
Good.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
We like conformity here at the podcast, Dianos. Thank you.
Speaking of conformity, we do have a response from our listeners about shaming stupid vanity plates that we've seen. Our buddy Michael Litzner got in touch. Apparently, he sees an electric car on his commute that the vanity plate is bye-bye gas. Come on.
Okay.
Come on, people. Be better than that. That's like
seems a little... It's a little braggadocious.
Elite level douchebaggery there. Like, it's cool. You know, you're saving the environment. You're running on electricity. But come on. Mm. Don't be that hippie hugging tool. Yeah. All right. We're running a little bit long. Maybe we'll hold off on the Twitter questions till next week. Let's get into some of the matchups. We play the Astros for 4, and then we play the White Sox for 4, all on the road. The Astros are coming off getting swept by the Indians. So good for us that they're coming in low on confidence. Bad for us that they just handed Cleveland 3 wins. I don't really know a ton about this Houston team, to be honest. I know they're in first place.
I heard we're missing the AL wins leader, Keuchel.
Yeah, he's very good again. And he went on the DL. And McCann, not James, Brian, his brother, he's on the DL, I think, with a concussion, so we'll probably miss both of those. You know, don't wish anyone injury, but don't hate avoiding them.
Right.
Fulmer against Brad Peacock on Monday. Zimmerman against Lance McCullers Jr. on Tuesday. Daniel Norris, you know, heart emoji against Charlie Morton on Wednesday. And Verlander against Mike Fiers on Thursday. How do you feel in that series? How many wins do we take there?
We're at the Houston Astros. If we could split that series, I'm comfortable with that.
Yeah, that seems fair. I think Norris gets back on track, and I think Fulmer gets one tonight, which you'll probably know by the time you hear this. And by probably, I mean you definitely will know by the time you hear this. Okay, so let's get on to the weekend series. Friday doubleheader. Matt Boyd against Mike Pelfrey. That one, that'll be a good one. That'll be a barn burner.
Yeah, not exactly an ace off.
No. Do you play Beat the Streak on your phone? It's essentially it's a game put out by MLB. You pick a player every day, I'm sure you're familiar with the contest. If they get a hit, you start your streak, and so on and so forth. Every time Big Pelf comes up in the order, I for sure will go ahead and sack somebody from sometimes even two players from the opposing lineup, because that's just a given.
He's just not very good.
He's very bad at baseball. And now that he's gone, now I no longer have to stick to my guns. So that's nice.
Nice.
The night game was scheduled to be Anibal. I don't know. It probably will be Warwick at this point, Taupold, possibly Chad Bell, or maybe Buck against Derek Holland, who all of a sudden is great again. That's inconvenient. Saturday, Zimmerman goes up against Miguel Gonzalez, and then Sunday, Norris against Dylan Covey for the White Sox. Right. So 4 games on the south side. How many are you having us take there?
I think we could get 3. I think we get three.
I was going to go 3-2, and I thought I was going to be the optimistic one. So yeah, I think we could win five of eight this week. I don't think there's anything unreasonable there. Any Astros that you're particularly excited to watch play?
Correa.
Correa, yeah, he is a very good baseball player. Yep. Reminds me a lot of Iglesias. I kid.
A rare 8-game week. We are playing a lot of baseball. We do not have another off day until the 1st of June.
Yeah, which actually isn't as far out as you'd think, but...
Oh, man. Yeah, I got to get my life together. The days sneak up.
That's what the show reminds us all. We have to get our lives together. If you want to get in touch with the show, you can at podcastianos.com. On the Twitter, I am at JordanHall23. He is at Comeric Eric, and the show is at Podcastianos. On the Instagram, I am at Jordinho4. On Facebook, facebook.com/podcastianos. And once again, we'd love it if you take the time to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or whatever other platform you're listening to the show on. And if you've made it this far into the show, you love us, we love you. If you see something that the account has tweeted, you know, hey, listen to the show, go ahead, throw us a retweet. We'll love you forever. You can become a friend of the show. When we make it rich, we'll send you some financial backing, all of that stuff.
You can be the third Troya brother.
Yeah. There actually is a third Troya brother. I'm getting to know that. Really? Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about you picking sides in the great Troya brother debate. And then going back on it. That made me even more uncomfortable. You're like Paul from formerly Verizon, now Sprint.
Yeah. Whoever kisses up to me the most, that's who I'm going with.
That seems like a pretty good life rule.
Yeah. Right. And yes. And next week, we're going to power rank something very frivolous. Gonna make up for it. Sorry, friends.
Anything else to say to the people before we head out for the week?
That's it.
All right. With that being said, say a prayer for me Saturday morning, and we will catch you guys. Thanks. I will try to run fast. I'll probably start running fast and then finish running slow.
That's fine.
Yeah. Okay. We will catch you guys next week, and eat 'em up, Tigers. Eat 'em up.
Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.